What is a body Donna?
A body Donna, back in, I think it was the 40s,
mm-hmm.
there was a female wrestler, and her name was Donna. And she had a male trainer, and that was her gimmick. They reversed roles.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was the star, and he played valet to her.
Oh. Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And today we begin a journey that's going to take us several weeks of the show. We did episodes of WCW 95 and WCW 96, and today we begin a look back at the World Wrestling Federation 1996. And in honor of that, Mark has changed his look.
A little bit.
He has come in. He knew we would be talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin for several... Excuse me. Actually, Mark is not trying to... He's trying to be the ringmaster.
That's right. For the record, I shaved my head the first time before Steve Austin did.
Yes.
But every guy, most guys our age have short hair and a goatee. Have you ever noticed that?
I have noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's why. I don't know if it's the Austin Goldberg thing or what the reason is. But, yeah, I had about 2 years' worth of hair and beard, and I cut it off. And it was not easy to do. It was a tough, like,
You had to work up some courage.
I did, some liquid courage, because I had been wanting to do it for a while, but there was so much time invested in it. But it was so hot, man, in the South. And last year it wasn't as bad because my hair wasn't quite as long and my beard wasn't quite as long. But it's just so hot down here. And I got to thinking about it and, you know, I said, well, I had a couple of beers and buzzed it.
And then buzzed in more ways than one.
Yeah.
So before we get started.
It's a pull of the Triple H, except I'm not retiring.
Right. So before we get started, I just want to say a lot of the research that we do and have done comes from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, F4WOnline.com. But hey, we're going to save you some trouble because right above our show notes for the last several weeks is a link to their site. They do have some free articles. You can go back over 20 years and read. It is absolutely fascinating to go back and read some of the old newsletters. Listen, every other website, every other wrestling news site that you're reading, they don't have an inside source.
No, they have Dave Meltzer.
They have Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. And that's the truth. And even, I think, Wade Keller and Jason Powell, who are kind of the other big names in wrestling journalism, will admit that, you know, Dave Meltzer's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the pioneer.
Yeah.
He's not the reason we rank matches with stars, but he's the reason.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I say,
do you know who is?
Huh?
By the way, do you know who suggested rating matches with stars?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Jim Cornette.
Really?
Yep. He had a friend, and I can't. They did kind of a newsletter kind of thing, a fanzine back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that's how TV Guide rated TV programs with the star rating system. And they said, we should try to do that with wrestling. And it really took off when Meltzer started doing it.
So, okay, because
he became the standard.
I couldn't remember if it was Cornette or Russo who made fun of people who rated matches with stars. I think it was Rusev. Now that you've said that, Rusev's like, oh, those guys are idiots.
Rusev or Russo?
Rusev crush. Rusev, I wish he would crush Russo.
He'll crush your wrestling company.
So speaking of Russo, I guess he sold his website or something.
I don't know.
He's getting a radio show. Frankly, I think I speak for all of us when I say, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Listen,
he can talk about wrestling as long as he's not ruining the wrestling I want to watch.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to him talk about wrestling.
So before we get into, so let's be very clear. This, what we're talking about, 96, is really before Russo is in, really getting in.
He's involved.
Well, he's involved, but not, he's not.
He's not the guy.
He's not the
guy. But he's very much involved. If you, the Billionaire Ted skits, he's in those. I mean, he's very much a big part of what's going on.
He's, you know, writing for the magazine and stuff. But we were talking about, we're recording this on Tuesday, April the 7th. And last night on Raw, Raw was very boring. It went head-to-head with the NCAA tournament. But it was boring in the sense that it was just kind of thrown together matches, but they were all decent matches. And every match, except for maybe the Divas match, went through a commercial break. And I just said, that's a clear sign that Russo's not booking this.
That, and that we knew that he wasn't booking it.
Right. Before we get into 96, I want to read a paragraph. And I could not say this better, because 96, to me, is the year that changed wrestling. And I think I never did finish my original thought of, there's a banner up there. Click on that Wrestling Observer banner. And if you subscribe, it's like $10.99 a month. I subscribe. It is well worth it. The Double Dropkick Show gets a little kickback. So, hey, support the show.
If you want a real good analysis of what's going on in wrestling, it is great to read. And it's what, for years and years and years, it is the publication that the guys in the business read.
Yeah.
It's top notch.
They cover every company in the world, every major wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
And they also cover UFC.
Like, I mean, I heard recently there, because I seek out the best wrestling in the world.
Yes.
So it's not just WWE or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or whatever, Ring of Honor, TNA for me. I'm curious about watching the best wrestling from around the world.
Yeah.
And finding out about other stories. And there was a big women's match in Japan a few weeks ago that turned into a shoot fight.
Yes.
And I heard about it on The Observer and went and found the video of it. And it is hard to watch.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, she swole. I can't remember who was involved. I don't
know. Broke her orbital bone.
Yes, it was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the match didn't even get started. And it was like an MMA fight, and just swole this girl's face up. It was awful.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have seen that if it hadn't been for Dave Meltzer telling me about it.
Right, right. And so what happens is people find out about it from Dave Meltzer, and then they post it on Facebook as their own.
Right. They have a cut and paste website where they go around to the couple of news sites. They find everything and then report it as though reports are stating that this is.
Yeah, sources say.
Yeah, my sources tell me. And your source is the $10.99 you pay a month to have a subscription to wrestling.
So when I tell you this, I'm going to read this verbatim. It's a paragraph, but it tells you what's going. To me, it sums up the changes happening in the wrestling business in this era. So it figured going into the Monday Night Wars, a result in much of what has happened: faster storylines, better marquee matches on television, more angles than anyone could reasonably keep track of, attempts to revive names from the past, title changes with more frequency than ever before, decreasing house show and pay-per-view business. 19 years later, that's still very much true.
Yeah, for the most part.
Even more so, the decline of the pay-per-view business.
Except for the more storylines than anybody can keep up with.
Right. That has now I don't think there's enough storyline.
No, there's not. But I think they're, like we talked about a few weeks ago, I think it's getting better. If you really push to have a world champion and an intercontinental champion and a U.S. champion, and then you throw in, you know, a character babyface or a monster heel who can have a blood feud, you got a good card.
Yeah.
And a tag division. They should spend a little time on that.
It does look like they're trying. I mean, they do this every year around WrestleMania season, try to build that tag team division. Yeah. And I've got some thoughts on tag teams as we go through this. So,
do you have some thoughts, or did Dave Meltzer have some thoughts you're going to tell us?
No, I have some thoughts.
It doesn't matter what you do, Heath. I'm still going to turn it around.
Before we get into this, I just want to run down from 1995, because I want you to see the difference in WWF between 95 and 96. Okay, because to me, 96 blew me away. I did not watch wrestling during this time. When I went back and watched most of these, I've watched all the pay-per-views, but had only seen like several matches from it.
So I want to, you watched every match, every pay-per-view.
I'm to the best of my knowledge, I watched every match from every pay-per-view.
I like that. It's about time.
Yes. And that's going to be, so I want to, so here's the pay-per-view title matches, or the title match, the pay-per-view matches from 95 featuring the champion. Royal Rumble 95, Diesel and Brett wrestle to a draw. WrestleMania, Diesel pins Shawn Michaels. In Your House, Sid beats Diesel by DQ. Diesel and Bam Bam beat Sid and Tatanka at King of the Ring. Diesel beats Sid in a lumberjack match at In Your House. Diesel beats Mabel at SummerSlam. Diesel and Shawn Michaels win the tag titles from Yokozuna and Davey Boy Smith. Davey Boy Smith beats Diesel by DQ. Bret Hart beats Diesel for the title at Survivor Series. And then the December 95 pay-per-view, Bret Hart beats Davey Boy Smith in what? So I want you to
In what Meltzer describes as what?
No. In a good match.
No, it is. Have you seen that match?
I did see that
match. It is an incredible match.
It's a good match. And it's, you see there's, to me, Vince defaults to the big guy champion.
He always does, and he'll make the decision that Kevin Nash is the guy, and then Kevin Nash didn't draw no money, and they put it back on Bret Hart.
So that's where we're at, where we're at in 96 January. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had any intention of putting the belt back on Bret Hart at this time.
No, not at the time.
But
they thought Diesel was the guy.
And he does not draw the money they thought he would, and so that's where we're at. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the pay-per-view and then fill in the gaps of story that it happened. We're not going to, like, with WCW, we're just reading Nitro results. And apologize?
We weren't just reading. You were reading them, and I was trying to tell you to stop reading them.
Yes, and you were correct. You were correct. So leading into the Royal Rumble.
You jacked up today, man. I can tell I'm going to have to fight to get a word in.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. It's fine. I like for you to shine every now and then.
Once a year.
Because, listen, there's this misconception on the show that I'm this great wrestling mind, and you're just here to be my yes man. I am not this great wrestling mind. You did a lot of research. And I want you to shine.
I want us both to shine together. I want us to have a 5-star classic right here.
We always do.
I want Dave Meltzer to listen to this podcast and say, man, if we could do that, Brian. Brian Alvarez, listen to this.
Yeah. Minus 5 stars. it's my best Brian Alvarez.
How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, it's kind of got a... If you ever listen to him sped up, because I know you listen to a lot of your podcasts.
Maybe that's why he sounds like that.
No, he sounds like that anyway. And when you speed him up, he sounds like Mighty Mouse.
hey, their show's great.
No disrespect. I don't know those guys. I've seen Brian Alvarez. He ain't kicking my ass. I ain't worried about it.
So leading into Royal Rumble on Raw, Vince has started these billionaire Ted sketches, poking fun at WCW, alluding to the fact Macho Man and Hogan are on steroids.
The Macho Man and the Huckster.
Yeah.
The Scheme Gene.
One of the things that happened that I didn't know about was, somehow Vince got it in this. I'm talking about the New York Daily News gossip section.
Mm-hmm.
Printed a story that Ted Turner wanted to legit have a match with Vince McMahon.
Right.
Which was brilliant on Vince's part to leak that story. It had no truth in it.
Right.
Whatsoever, but people ate it up.
And then, a year later, Bischoff come out and challenges Vince to a fight at a pay-per-view, and they acted like... Cause
and they acted like...
They have a history of that type of thing. When when people took his talent, it was a talent raid and they were playing dirty pool. But when he put 30 other companies out of business, that was just him doing legitimate on the level business there. That was just competition.
Yeah.
But when somebody took a couple of his stars, they were playing dirty pool.
Are you saying there's hypocrisy?
Yes.
Another cool thing that happened in January, I don't know if it happened in January of 96, but it's reported, a wrestling fan died, and their favorite wrestler was Shawn Michaels.
Uh-huh.
And they left Shawn Michaels $2.5 million.
Really?
In their will. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they tried to keep it hush-hush. But if you see all of Shawn Michaels' friends leaving WWF for more money, Shawn Michaels is sitting on $2.5 million. They actually ask him about it, because there's a press conference leading up into Royal Rumble where they, and they're asking, and Shawn Michaels says, "Hey, I'm not retiring. I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble." And somebody actually asked him that question. He's like, no comment. Because they tried to do it as a legit press conference.
Right.
The only bad thing.
Because he had gotten beat up by
Owen Hart, right.
No, he not got beat up by Owen Hart. He got beat up in a parking lot.
Yes.
Tell us the story.
No, I'm saying the storyline was Owen had given him a concussion, but that's not what happened.
Yeah. I know. That's not what happened. I was going to tell you what happened.
I was saying, yes, I agree with you. I remember now. You tell it. It was a black eye on the wrestling business.
No, it was a black eye on Shawn Michaels. I mean,
right.
Literally, he got a black eye. He got beat up by either one guy or eight Marines,
depending on
who you ask.
Yeah.
But he got beat up in a parking lot, and he got beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
And he did get a concussion. And of course, I don't know. There's even Kevin Nash has said, come that time every year, Shawn Michaels like to take off. Because the year later, about that time, he lost his smile.
Right. Right.
Huh. So, who knows what really happened. I think it was that Davey Boy Smith was there, couldn't save him. He couldn't get out of the car.
Something, yeah.
It was an interesting story, though. So, but either one person or eight Marines, depending on who you
Yeah.
Have.
But they, as they often do, they took a real-life situation, turned it into a wrestling storyline, and
yeah, and they did like the deal injury. Where
he's trying to get
Owen
revenge.
Hart did the enziguri and Pow kicked him in the back of the head and he passed out in the ring and
so we get to the Royal Rumble and at this time Raw is pre-taped and all the Raws for January were taped in December. So if you go back and you watch the timeline, it's not a very good build to the pay-per-view because everything's a month old.
Right.
One significant moment in Raw of January 96.
There were two in January, but go ahead.
Yes, but the one I'm thinking of, and you do the other one, we got a new wrestler who's worthy of being the $1 million champion.
That's right.
And it is the Ringmaster, Steve Austin.
They don't even call him Steve Austin. He's just the Ringmaster.
Comes in, interviewed by Brother Love in not Steve Austin's finest moment.
No. Well, it was more in the if you'd ever seen his ECW promos,
yeah.
Which were kind of what got him hired. It was that style of promo where he was saying "man" a lot. It was kind of weird if you go back and watch it.
It is awkward.
And,
yes,
it's not the Stone Cold Steve Austin that you know. And he would go through another period where he did promos in another way.
Yeah,
that's not at all. After he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, when we'll get to that, but. And he cut his promos very methodically, where he didn't show any emotion, because that was the original. And we'll get to what that was supposed to be about.
Yeah. What was the other Raw storyline?
Vader.
Okay. Yes, Vader's, yes.
Yeah, Vader debuted.
Vader debuts, which is huge. And the night after Royal Rumble, they run a great angle. So
yes.
Here's the Royal Rumble. On the pre-show, they've set up a match between Triple H and Duke Drosy. Now, this is not on the network. This was the pre-show. The winner gets the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble. The loser gets the number one spot. Triple H loses, gets the number one spot. So then let's get to the heart of the pay-per-view. Ahmed Johnson beats Jeff Jarrett. What are your thoughts on Ahmed Johnson in this match? I've got several notes, but Ahmed Johnson, talk about a green light push.
He was big and tough and believable, and he couldn't cut a promo, but kind of like Ultimate Warrior. I wasn't exactly sure what he was saying, but I believed him.
Yeah.
He was a scary dude, man.
Somebody posted on Facebook the other day, Ahmed Johnson, and he was doing a promo for a wrestling video game.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah, it's unintelligible.
You can't hear. Yeah. Like, if they had closed caption for it, it would be, they wouldn't know what to type.
Right.
This is what, first of all, I put about Jeff Jarrett, and I'm always got time to make fun of Jeff Jarrett here.
Yeah.
Just a horrible, horrible gimmick.
His whole life has been a horrible gimmick.
I hate
Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, he ends up leaving later in the year, and they do this whole lip sync thing. And
I mean, like, his daddy created a company to try to make people believe that he was a main event guy.
Yeah.
And then the Carter family bought it from him. And you know what I mean? That's what TNA was about, was making Jeff Jarrett the champion and making people believe that he was one of the top guys in the wrestling business.
So Global Force Wrestling is going to start filming this summer.
Uh-huh.
How long before Jeff Jarrett's the Global Force World Champion?
I don't know. I think he's smart enough not to be now.
Right.
I'm sure he'll do something. He's going to have a big moment. He's like Triple H. He can't help it, I don't think.
So here.
But I can't blame. If I had a wrestling company at some point, I'd hold the title too. So
you'd pull a Vern Gagne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Why is Ahmed Johnson grunting so much?
That's a good question.
It's distracting.
I don't know. I thought he was a big, tough, believable-looking cat. So, I mean, I don't believe in any way, shape, form, or fashion that not only Jeff Jarrett, but that anybody could beat Ahmed Johnson in a fight.
So, here's a quote I had from this match. Ahmed wants to get it on with Double J. Now, Ahmed does pull – he does this move a lot where he does a dive over the top rope.
Yeah.
And that's something you hadn't seen in WWF a lot.
But a guy his size doing it.
Now it's like, if you can't do that, we don't want you.
Right.
Double J just decides to hit him with a guitar. Gets himself disqualified. I didn't understand that. Ahmed gets a legit concussion, but pops up pretty quick and chases him to the back. So whatever. I'm sorry we spent that much time on a Jeff Jarrett match. The
opening match of the first pay-per-view. How long did you talk about that?
4 minutes.
All right.
Smoking Guns against the Body Donnas, Skip and Zip. Now, this is what I wanted. Now, this is supposed to be Sid Vicious and 1-2-3 Kid. They're supposed to be getting a push to be the tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, Sid has suffered a career-ending neck injury, which is going to force him to play softball for 6 months.
Right.
But that's the story here. I have a question for you, Mark.
Okay.
What is a Body Donna?
A Body Donna, back in, I think it was the 40s,
mm-hmm.
there was a female wrestler, and her name was Donna. And she had a male trainer, and that was her gimmick. They reversed roles,
mm-hmm.
Where she was the star, and he played valet to her.
Oh.
I don't know what a Body Donna
You're
is.
You're totally making that up. Yeah. You could have built that.
I know what a Body Donna is.
So we were talking about this earlier, about tag team wrestling. Personally, I'm okay. I would rather have a bad tag team gimmick than just two guys thrown together randomly.
Like Kid and Cesaro, where you just kind of take two guys and put them together.
Correct. Now, they did that with Pillman and Austin, and they turned it into something awesome. And I think Kid and Cesaro, to their credit, are trying to do the same thing.
And Dr. Tom Pritchard's great, and so is Chris Candido.
Yes. So that's
both of those guys are phenomenal.
So here I've got, in this match, you have three great workers and then Bart Gunn.
Yeah, but Bart Gunn's a pretty tough cat.
Now, but yes, but I'm talking about, yes, he's a tough guy, very strong,
and
very
believable. I don't know that I would call Billy Gunn a great worker. This, I would not put Billy Gunn on the same level as Chris Candido or Dr. Tom Pritchard.
No, no. I'm just saying this is not a bad match. A lot of tag team moves. No,
they're not bad matches.
And there's not a lot of bad matches.
No, I enjoyed almost every match that I watched from every pay-per-view. I enjoyed. So, I mean, if I was like WCW was doing this whole, hey, you don't want to watch Smoking Guns versus Owen Hart and British Bulldog again. And I'm thinking, man, it's a lot better than Disco Inferno versus
La Parca.
You know, Jim Powers.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's better than that. Why wouldn't I want to switch? And I think that's what big WCW misstep. Because, I mean, a lot of these guys had a lot of fans. Yeah. Especially the women were into the Smoking Guns.
Yes, they were. And the men were into Sonny.
I wasn't. Can I just tell you, I was enamored with Sonny. I never got. Not that she's not cute, because she is, but her voice was like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I just never thought she was half as good looking as Sable. I just never got her. I could tell that she was exactly what I thought she was, and I can't even say the word.
Right.
But, you know, you can just tell sometimes when you look at a woman what kind of person she is. And to me, it radiated across the screen.
Is it funny, because Sable debuts around this same time. Is it funny, 19 years later, talk about two careers that took different paths. Two different lives.
Yeah, two different lives. One is currently married to the guy who just lost the title and main evented WrestleMania, and one of them is... We'll Skype with you for money.
Yes.
Say no more.
That's all you need. And that's all the people that's need all. To know.
And when she Skypes with you for money, she'll do anything you ask her to.
Yes.
Allegedly. so I've heard. I heard it from a friend.
Did Sonny talk you into shaving your head during your Scott conversation? Next on Royal Rumble, they do a Billy and Ted skit, which Russo is involved in. It was ironic watching this that a lot of this stuff that they're accusing WCW of would come true in the coming months. Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Next match is Intercontinental title match, champion Razor Ramon versus Goldust. Yeah. This significant is the debut of Marlena.
Yes.
And this is a good match. It has a logical finish.
Yeah, man. I always liked Razor Ramon, and I've always liked Dustin Rhodes was always phenomenal in the ring. Even though when he was the natural, I thought the whole gimmick, the goofy jackets and all that was kind of goofy. But still, I always would watch his matches because they were good.
Yeah, his gimmick then would not play today.
No, it was very, very much. I mean,
push the envelope of.
If you have a situation, we just have to talk openly and freely about things because it's what happened. I have an issue with people who don't want to talk openly and freely about history because history happened and you can't change it. You had a storyline that essentially was Razor Ramon didn't like Goldust because he was gay.
Yeah.
And he played on the homophobia.
Yeah.
And he beat him up.
Yeah.
Really bad one time.
Yeah.
Just because he was gay.
Yeah.
And you would not see a storyline play out.
No.
You would not have the gay guy being the heel.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
It just wouldn't fly. And that's not a bad thing that we've come a little further as a society.
No.
I think it's a good thing that we're gay bashing. Is not a professional wrestling story anymore. I think we're probably in a better place today.
The sad thing for Dustin is Razor Ramon, he did not want to do this feud, didn't want to do this angle. And backstage, Hall, Nash, Shawn Michaels all really took it out, according to reports, really kind of took it out on Dustin Rhodes personally because they just didn't want to work with him because they didn't like the angle. And Dustin Rhodes is like, well, what am I, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is my thing.
And that was the problem with those guys. And everybody has always said that Kevin Nash, apart from Scott Hall and Shawn Michaels, is one of the greatest guys you'd ever want to meet. But that he kind of, it was odd because he was the muscle. He was the actual tough guy of the group. But I don't know, man. I just, their whole, if you ever heard Bam Bam Bigelow talk about the clique, we might as well just talk about it now. Where it was like they just get together and decide they were going to ruin somebody's life. And they did it to Shane Douglas, and they did it to Bam Bam Bigelow, and they did it to Chris Candido. And then a few years later, when Scott Hall tried to come to an ECW show, Shane Douglas stopped him at the door and said, no, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bam Bam and Chris Candido kind of backed him up. You're not coming in.
I'm not aware of some of the stories. So, like, what did they, like, for instance, like, what did they kind of do to Bam Bam?
Just like what you talk about.
Oh.
Because at WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels and Diesel were for the title.
Yeah.
And they felt like they should have been the main event. But Bam Bam Bigelow was the main event.
Yeah.
And just the same thing like you talked about with, with Goldust. Like, just making people miserable. And, like, they very, very famously fed feces to Sonny.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody put feces in her food.
So
these guys were not good guys.
So that's the thing is some things happened on one of the trips in one of these opening months. I think I've got it in my notes, but we'll go ahead and talk about it since we're talking about it. Hall and Nash know they're leaving. And so there's this European tour that is just brutal for everybody.
Right.
And after that European tour, Sonny quit traveling with the people because they were thinking, we're going to get sued for sexual harassment.
Right.
And they tried to protect her from that. A couple more notes I had on this Goldust Razor Ramon, just going back and watching Goldust that year, just what an incredible worker he was. But he's in much better physical shape now than he was.
Who, Goldust?
DDP.
Yeah, he seems to be. Yeah, he does.
This match, I'm just going through my notes. Very slow pace, but it's an entertaining match. The thing that caught my attention, and one of the biggest changes that we're going to go through over the course of this year in WWF, is that the Royal Rumble, Jim Ross is not on commentary.
Right.
And the commentary is terrible.
Yeah, I got a note about it somewhere, but I'll say it. I wish I'll wait until we get to the pay-per-view when he does it because it's really funny to me. It'll be in my notes somewhere.
So
I'm talking about something Vince McMahon just keeps saying over and over again.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, at the end of this match, the 1-2-3 kid, Sean Waltman, interferes. Goldust wins the Intercontinental title, and they're setting up kind of a program with 1-2-3 kid and Razor Ramon. Then you have the Royal Rumble. Which is won by Shawn Michaels. Lot of rumors leading up to what? No. Lot of rumors leading up to the Royal Rumble about the surprising entrants that are going to be in it. They actually have set up a deal. They've talked to Paul Heyman. They're going to bring in Sabu. They've offered Sabu $5,000. He's going to come in and be in the Royal Rumble. The deal, they think it's going to fall through, so they go to the Sheik. They offer the Sheik $3,000 as a booking fee to get Sabu there. It's even announced on the WWF hotline Friday and Saturday, Sabu's going to be in the Royal Rumble. And then at the last minute, Heyman nixes it.
Right.
So Sabu's not in it. But let me throw out some other rumored names. Peter McNeely. You ever heard of that guy? He's the guy that lost to Mike Tyson in Tyson's comeback match. They were trying to get Peter McNeely.
Okay. Yeah.
To be in the Royal Rumble. One of your favorites. It was rumored that Rick Martel, but later it's found out Rick Martel was never invited. Dan Severn.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. Dan Severn is rumored.
Yeah, Dan the Beast.
Jake is rumored, and Jake does appear. Vader, this is before Vader's being rumored, and then obviously they do sign him in January.
Right.
And then they were trying to get the Ultimate Warrior, and that just is just not going to happen with the Ultimate Warrior. So I want to go.
Now that we got a list of people that wasn't in it, you want to tell us who was?
Yes. So, entry number one.
There's only one important guy, and that was Barry Horowitz.
Yeah.
And that's because Barry Horowitz entering the Royal Rumble leads to, if I could just say this, and yeah. I'll go back to letting you read people's names. But
okay. You save that because Barry Horowitz is number 25.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and tell everybody else.
So first entrant is Triple H, pre-allergic to bees. Number two, Henry Godwin. Third, Bob Backlund. Fourth, Jerry Lawler. Fifth entry is Bob Holly. And I wrote down, yikes, he's introduced as the speedster from Talladega.
Yeah, was he doing Thurman Sparky Plug there?
Might have been.
Spark Plug Bob Holly.
Six is King Mabel. Seven, Jake Roberts comes in, clears the ring with the snake, which is, Jake is over. No matter what condition he's in, Jake is over. Number eight was a surprise to me. It's Dory Funk Jr.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked.
And it's like, hey, former NWA world champion. I'm like, what? But what I found out was, so WCW has a deal with New Japan. This was WWF. They're trying to get in with All Japan. And so I think there's Dory Funk and one Omari. Who's from All Japan. They're trying to kind of build some inroads there. Yokozuna, who's comes back for a little bit and then disappears for a little bit. 1-2-3 Kid. 11's Omari, like I just said, from All Japan. 12 is Savio Vega. 13 is Vader. And after Vader gets eliminated, he comes back in the ring, eliminates a bunch of people.
So a while ago you said they were going to sign Vader later on in the month.
No.
But he was actually in the Royal Rumble.
No, that's what I meant is it was leading up to the Royal Rumble. There's this rumor Vader's going to be in the Rumble. But then when they signed him before the Rumble, it was like, okay. Obviously he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
I got you.
Doug Gilbert.
I was surprised by that.
He had won a Battle Royal in USWA. 15 and 16, I'll be honest. I just put SWAT team member one and SWAT team member two. I have no idea who those guys
are. Is this the Samoan gangster party?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you never really hear him say that clearly.
Right. It was because Rikishi Fatu, who was just Fatu at the time, had broken off. And the whole deal was he had been like a gang member and now he was cleaning his life up. And he was trying to be a positive influence in the community.
Right.
And Samu, who had been his partner in the Head Shrinkers and the Samoan SWAT team, and his brother, who was Rosie with that's the Samoan Gangster Party, if I'm not mistaken. And they came in sort of like to be the heels to give Fatu a storyline. I think it was Rosie anyway.
I mean, looking back, I didn't reckon. I mean, it was two really, really, really big.
Yeah, these guys may be different guys, but I know originally maybe it was going to be a faction, but
right.
So maybe because I mean, I watched this a few weeks ago. I mean, I don't remember every.
I just remember details, I didn't like. I
but I do remember that Samu and Rosie came in as the Samoan Gangster Party. So I don't know if that's them or not. I don't remember.
Next is Owen Hart. Number 18 is Shawn Michaels, HBK. 19, Hakushi. 20.
Who was great, man? Hakushi should have been huge.
Right.
And he was in Japan. I mean, he wound up having a really good career in Japan. He teamed up with Hayabusa for a while. Who, by the way, if you've never seen Hayabusa, or if you don't know, do you know who Hayabusa is?
No, I mean, I'd probably know him if you
He did. Was phenomenal. When I tell you what happened, you'll know who I'm talking about. Oh. He wore a mask. It's like if Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask had a baby.
Yeah.
And Sabu and Rob Van Dam had a baby. And then those babies got together and had a baby. You'd get Hayabusa.
Wow.
It was like he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And could have been a huge, huge international star. And he did a lion salt broke his neck. And he's been in a wheelchair for years. I mean, it paralyzed him, but he had surgery recently and can now stand on his own and walk with a cane.
Wow.
So I was just really, really glad, because he was a guy that if you were a tape trader and you saw Hayabusa matches on a tape, you were willing to swap to get those because they were just incredible matches. And
you would trade a Jim Mint 10 tape, Jim Mint 10 card to get a Hayabusa.
Yeah, to get a Hayabusa match, yeah. And so I'm really glad to hear. Because I was a big fan of his. So I'm really glad to hear he's out of the wheelchair now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Still in a wheelchair, but he's able to stand up. And right. That's a big deal, man. That's
and,
a
dude, huge that spot deal. Where he gets injured, it's hard. God. You watch it once and you're like, yeah, I don't ever
I never
want
to watch that again. Yeah. It is awful. Because he comes back. I mean, it's just, it's awful, man.
Thank you for describing what I don't want to
eat. Yeah, when he
man.
Cuts back. Yeah, it is awful, man.
Oh, man. Number 20 is Tatanka. 21, Aldo Montoya, a.k.a. Justin Credible. 22 is Diesel, and as he's coming to the ring, Diesel, full of diesel fuel.
Yeah, it's clear that old Vince liked him some Diesel. And some Shawn Michaels later on.
Oh, my goodness. 23 is Kama. Kama, chameleon. 24 is the ringmaster, Steve Austin. No crowd response at all.
No.
He is announced, his music hits, and crickets.
Yeah.
It is.
Because it was a stupid gimmick.
I mean,
it wasn't a stupid. Well, actually, having a guy who's a really good technical wrestler was not a bad gimmick, but I mean, it's like Dean Malenko, man. I like Dean Malenko. I like to watch his matches, but if there's got to be some personality there too, right. You know.
And he was only been in the company a couple of weeks. So number 25, Barry Horowitz.
Okay, now
yes
is the best quote of the night when Mr. Perfect says to Vince McMahon, "If a nerd wins the Royal Rumble, I'm coming out of retirement."
That's great.
So that's my one contribution to the Royal Rumble discussion.
26 is Fatu, a.k.a. Rikishi, who, don't know if you heard this. This came out when we did our WrestleMania review show. We talked about, we wondered why Too Cool wasn't there. And apparently,
there's a reason.
He told them that he did not want them there.
Yeah, apparently there was a dispute over something at an independent show.
Yeah.
With a payout or something, maybe splitting the money. I don't. That's speculation. But, yeah, apparently there has been a recent, and it's just been recent, that they had a problem with one another.
So. Yeah. But as life somewhat is, the guy going into the Hall of Fame, he's the one that gets to write the history. Yeah. And he rewrote the history in his Hall of Fame because it made, like, Scotty and
like they were playing second fiddle to him.
Right. Like he really treated them like they never existed.
Well, true.
Number 27 is the mad dentist Isaac Yankum, a.k.a. Kane. Here's my question.
A.k.a. Unabomb.
Oh, my. Here's my question.
That's why I'll always be better than you at this. You knew he was Kane. I knew he was Unabomb.
So when they
I love those. Speaking of facial expressions, I love your facial expressions. As I pick at you.
There is nothing worse than when a one-upper gets one-up.
Yeah, we used to call them at work years ago. If you told a story and then somebody would go, "Oh, you think that's something. I saw a snake that was 30 feet long."
Yeah.
We'd call them Story Topper Stan. There's no Story Topper Stan.
So Kane was in the Royal Rumble this year, and they were talking about how he broke the record of eliminations. Do they count his Isaac Yankum eliminations?
I don't know.
Those are the type of things I think about when I'm watching wrestling. Because it would be logical that they would do that. Number 28, Marty Jannetty. Number 29, British Bulldog. And from the pre-show, number 30, Duke the Dumpster Drosy. How many times does Vince McMahon say these two phrases during this pay-per-view, during this match? In any event, and anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. How many times?
I think he said it 14.
14. I'm just telling you, Vince McMahon, I tried to watch most of these with no sound.
Yeah, he's that bad. Yeah, he is.
I mean, but Mr. Perfect's great.
Yeah,
Mr. Perfect's great. The only beef I had with this match is you get to the final four, and the final four is Will Crud. I can't remember. Anyway, you get to the final four, and it's like this really built up that it's the final four, and it lasts less than a minute.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels wins, and then does a striptease.
Yes, as he was prone to do.
And I'm like, this is your top babyface, and he's going to tease.
They're stripping.
Stripping.
He's a Chippendales dancer.
Right.
Is this around the time he posed for Playgirl?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it probably was.
So Diesel comes in. There's
a lot of women who read Playgirl, I think.
So Diesel comes in and just kind of puts his hand up high, and they tease this tension, and then Shawn Michaels jumps up and gives him this high five. It's just this corny.
Yeah.
Awkward.
They're all corny.
Yeah.
Even today, really, like, to me, I don't even know why it bothers me.
Yeah.
It just kind of does at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
When they all
when
come
somebody
out.
They all have to come out on the stage. It's just, I don't, you're not that important. Well, apparently they are to somebody, but I just don't get it, man. I don't know.
Yeah. The main event of the Royal Rumble was a title match. It's Undertaker and Bret Hart. No high spots really in this match. No. It's almost a 30-minute match.
Uh-huh.
It's a good match. It's a logical match. You know, and this is still when they're pushing the Undertaker supernatural. So Bret Hart's trying to wrestle this guy that's got supernatural powers, and they kind of talk that up. Some like, how do you wear a guy down who has? I don't know the answer to that. How do you wear a guy down who's got supernatural powers?
Well,
you kind of booked yourself into a corner there, haven't you?
Yeah, and that's always kind of been a problem with Undertaker.
I felt that the ending was very lazy. At the end, Undertaker's going for a pin, and Diesel pulls the ref out.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has that happened in wrestling, and the ref just argues? This is about the fastest DQ I've ever seen on this. And I can't remember if he gives the match to anyway, it was a decent match, and the ending just kind of ruined it for me. And it made the whole, for me, it made this whole, I'm used to the Royal Rumble ending the show, and that's your finish. I mean, especially these last 2 years when the finish wasn't
right.
Everybody wanted. So for this, it was just kind of a downer, but they're teasing, you know, Diesel and Undertaker and all this stuff. So, but a decent card, not a bad card.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
What do you think? Now it's the next night. So Vader's here.
Oh, you don't want to know what I think about the match?
I did. I just asked you, what you thought about it?
Just kidding. No, I thought it was a paint by the numbers.
Yes.
If you want to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's two guys that I really liked, and I didn't think the match was that great. The crowd was dead for it.
It was. The crowd was really dead for it.
And it was two guys who can have great matches.
It was lazy. Do you think?
Yeah. It was just paint by the numbers, man. It was going through the motions.
Yeah.
Of having a wrestling match. And they did everything right at the right time.
Yeah.
It just... To me, it was just flat.
Do you think, I mean, I'm not questioning the effort that they gave.
I am.
Okay, I can see why. Can I say this? That this match, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Royal Rumble, I would still take this match that's paint by number, question their effort, lazy booking to the end, and I'd take that over 80% of the 96 WCW pay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a better main event.
Yes.
That's not that it wasn't a good match, but
it wasn't a great match.
It was formulaic.
Yes. That's yes.
There was nothing special about it. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't that the match wasn't good.
Yes.
But it was just clear that it was two guys who were going through the motions, getting to WrestleMania,
Trying not to get hurt.
Trying not to get hurt. Having a safe match. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. One of your big four pay-per-views of the year. Maybe you have to put in a little more effort.
Yeah.
And it's Bret Hart getting to the end of his title run. And anybody that's ever talked about Bret Hart will tell you that he was a straight-up mark. Like, he thought he really won those belts in a legitimate fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so just for him, like, to know that, okay.
And I'm sure he knew what was coming. And he knew he was taking some time because his contract was coming up.
Contract's coming up. He's going to – he was supposed to go film some Lonesome Dove, and that show ended up getting canceled. So, anyway, Royal Rumble, decent. The next night – Raw's not pre-taped. Raw's live.
Mm-hmm.
And they do just this incredible angle, but there's a logical reason for it. When Vader snaps, powerbombs a ref, and then Gorilla Monsoon, the president, comes in.
Yeah.
So here you have a lot of moving pieces, okay?
Okay.
Vader's got to have surgery. So he's having surgery
on February, his arm, right? On his
On his shoulder. Yeah, so he's got to have surgery. So this is story. They're going to storyline suspend him. But then they've also got somebody they're bringing in to replace Gorilla Monsoon. So it's just a lot of things going on. But I just watched this, and Gorilla Monsoon comes up, and Vader tries to mess with him. Gorilla Monsoon chops Vader night three times.
Oh, yeah, man.
And it was like, I'm telling you, I wish if there's a way to go back and watch some old Gorilla Monsoon, I think it'd be.
You can see him against somebody on the network. They got on one of those old school programs. Yeah, he was a Gorilla Monsoon is huge.
Yeah,
you can't really tell it. They downplay it with him being the announcer. He's a huge.
He's a big man. Yeah,
That's the reason they called him Gorilla.
Yeah,
because he looked like one. Oh, Gino Morella.
And isn't that why that's why they call it the gorilla position?
Yeah.
In the back?
Because that's where he stood. He produced the shows. And there was a, he was a part owner of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
And when Vince McMahon bought it from his father, there were a couple of guys that he promised to always take care of.
Yeah.
And one was Gino Morella, and one was Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yeah.
And I think there were a few others, but those were the two that he kind of lived up to it.
Yeah.
I think Lou Albano was one of the guys, but then they wound up having some friction with one another.
Will you stop?
Will you stop? But yeah, definitely Freddie Blassie and Gino Morella, or Gorilla Monsoon, were guys that Vince McMahon took care of because of they had been so loyal to his father.
Right.
So when Gorilla started to produce the backstage segments, he was the guy that would say, okay, go to the ring, go.
Yeah.
It's your game. And he would make sure everybody hit their marks and apparently was really good at it.
Yeah.
And so even other companies
call it
the Gorilla position.
Yeah.
Because,
that's pretty cool.
Because of that. So,
So it's just a great angle. Gorilla Monsoon does the stretcher job. And actually, this is on Daily Motion, and so I will put a link to this in. I'll put a link to this in the show notes because you got to watch it. It's just great. Vader's just, and Cornette is Jim Cornette's like Vader, you can't do that. I mean, Jim Cornette
is it not on the network? Is it not?
On the network, but I can't put a link up to that.
Oh, I got you.
If you go on the network, the January 22nd, 1996 Raw, you can find it. So
that was great. I remember when it happened, just popping for it. Everybody knows I love Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
So, and it was cool. I've met him. I like to throw that out there and flattered him.
Yeah.
You know, like it just flattered him. I could tell.
Yeah.
It really did. When I told him I thought he was the greatest big man in the history of wrestling, and he turned to it, he was like, hey, and he grabbed his friend and he was like, tell him, did you hear what this guy said?
Well, and I did the same thing. I mean, I'm not trying to put AJ Styles and Vader in the same company, but you had something you always wanted to say to Vader.
Right.
And you got to say it. And, and when we went and got to meet AJ Styles, I wanted him to know, I think you're the best, wrestler in the world. And I thought that was cool. February, we get to In Your House. So I have a question.
Okay. Chances are I know the answer.
So
if I don't, I'll make something.
So this is when they have the big four pay-per-views. And this year there's 12 pay-per-views in 96. They have the big four. The other eight are just In Your House and whatever random theme we want to come up
with. Right, right. And they were cheaper.
They were cheaper.
And they were shorter.
Shorter. So another thing that's
And at the very first one, they actually gave a house away.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So we just come from the Royal Rumble, and they've actually raised the price of the pay-per-views from $24.99 to $29.99, at least for the big WrestleMania's. I think at this point, $34.99. I think $19.99 or maybe the – because they're an hour shorter. They're only 2 hours.
Right.
But it's just a changing in the business. So –
But it was a good strategy that I think that honestly, I thought that that's what they should have stuck with that instead of them being 3 hours, do a cheap 2 hour pay-per-view. I thought they could have made money hand over fist if they'd have stayed that way.
And if you were a fan of WWF in 96, the matches you were getting on pay-per-view, you weren't getting on Monday nights.
Exactly.
So there was something special about it. Whereas
they were blowing feuds off. Unlike WCW that was using pay-per-views to set their feuds, to set up their Monday night shows, WWE was still in the let's blow our feuds off at pay-per-view mode.
Yeah.
And then we'll start something new tomorrow night. And
I wrote simply.
Occasionally, they would still start an angle at a pay-per-view, don't get me wrong,
right.
But or continue an angle. But
yeah. I wrote simply as I was watching the beginning of this. These pay-per-view graphics are horrible.
That is stellar commentary.
Yeah, thank you. I parked my squad car over here. My name's Dick Tracy. But going back, just...
Who would have thought 90s television graphics wouldn't stand the test of time?
Here, this opening match is Razor Ramon against the 1-2-3 Kid in a crybaby. Match.
You told me you found a little backstage because I don't care about the match. I want to know about the backstage.
So
the match was what it was.
Neither man wanted to do this match. They did not want to do this gimmick. They had no problem working with each other because they're boys.
Right. They're friends.
1-2-3 Kid.
I don't call anybody my boys.
Well,
I got one set of I got one set of boys.
Will you stop? As Vince would say throughout 96, well, I don't think we need to go there.
Oh, you stole me.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
That's one of the
I was going to get to it, but that's all right.
Hey, we'll go a little deeper.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd pick up on it.
That's what happens when you watch.
Yeah, I forgot you actually watched everything. You didn't just look at results.
But,
and it shows because I ain't got a word in edgewise since we started. I can tell you're all like jacked up. You're like, I'm going to show Mark that I watched all this. And I got no notes on this stuff. And I'm just enjoying watching you. Like, it makes me happy that you watched all these pay-per-views and you're so excited to talk about them. So I'm just letting you do it.
So 1-2-3 Kid is so depressed that he's in this match, but that he's got to lose this match and he's going to have to be put on a diaper that he no-shows for a whole week. He's so depressed, he just no-shows. They have to pretty much baby him to come back. And if you go back and watch this match, you see Razor Ramon, the look on his face when he's doing some of the stuff at the end is kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah, he throws his hands up a few times like, well, I know, it's a stupid.
So I had a couple of questions about Kid, is he in the clique? And if so,
yes.
Is his push here political that he really shouldn't have been in this match. He would have been a tag team champion with Sid.
Right.
And if so, why isn't he included in the curtain call? Or was he injured then? Or I'm just...
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, what's his name? Justin Credible was in the clique too. And he wasn't part of the curtain call. So, I mean, their influence only extended so far.
Right. Because Aldo Montoya did not get a green light put.
No.
No, he didn't.
But he was hanging around. He hung around with those guys all the time, too.
So So the finish of this match, powder the eyes, you know, whatever. Next match is Triple H and Duke Drosy. He's called a sanitation engineer and 2013 arrested for selling oxy to cops.
Yeah.
Mr. Duke Drosy. So here's another question for you. Talk about the click. At this point in time, Triple H is in line for a big push, in line for the King of the Ring. Is that purely political, or do they see something in Triple H?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think he was friends with the right people. He had the right attitude. And he's good. Triple H, I mean, as much as you can knock him for some of the stuff he's done,
yeah,
you can't take away the fact that he is good in the ring.
He is, yes, he is good in the ring.
His interviews are better than they have been. I mean, he's gotten better at promos over the years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as far as his in-ring work, you can always count on a, you know, 3.5 to 4.5 star match out of the guy.
Yeah.
Dang near every time he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
He shows up. He does what he's supposed to do. But clearly politically aligned himself with the right people.
Right.
And that assisted him.
Yeah.
And he probably got where he was going to get a little sooner.
Yes.
Because of that. But
Vince McMahon in this year refuses to call him Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
He insists on Hunter Hearst Helms. He says the whole name every time he refers to him.
Yeah, he didn't become Triple H until the DX stuff started.
But you can say Hunter or Helmsley or, you know.
Apparently the Triple H thing
was Shawn Michaels or, no, sorry.
No. Please tell us.
I just heard Shawn Michaels says, I'm not calling you Hunter Hearst Helmsley. I'm going to call you something else.
That's right. What am I even here for?
Sorry. Now.
So you can ask me stupid questions like, did aligning himself with the most powerful people in the company help him? I don't think it had anything to do with anything.
The next, after that match, they do a promo for the WWF store. And one great thing they do on all these pay-per-views is they give you the backstory. They give the backstory here of Yokozuna turning face, turning on Jim Cornette and his other friends. And Yokozuna does a pretty good promo.
Yeah. I was surprised how good it was. And you're right about those video packages. I know we talked about that when we first started watching the pay-per-views. When we were watching WCW pay-per-views, it was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Every time I'd get to a pay-per-view, wait, why is this guy doing this?
Right.
But with WWE, and they still are, I think they're too good at it at this point. But back then, I mean, you turn the pay-per-view on, and before the match started, here's a 3-minute recap of what's happened in the past month.
Yeah.
Here's why these guys are here, and here's why they're fighting. And even if they didn't do the video packages, the announcers, there was one, and I don't think it is this one, but there's one that comes up where they actually show footage from a house show in Germany.
Yes.
To show you why these guys are fighting.
Yeah.
I liked that attention to detail. Now they're too good at it. Now it's constant video packages reminding you of something that you just watched 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I don't need that. You know what I mean? But I guess it's to keep, so somebody tunes in late, here's what you missed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now
I get
it's,
that,
now
right?
It's like, oh, if you've but ever
Lost
gone.
Lost didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, Breaking Bad didn't do that. Mad Men doesn't do that. Sons of Anarchy doesn't do that. They might tell you what happened last week.
No, like previously on.
Yeah, previously on Sons of Anarchy. And then.
Previously on Sons of Anarchy, a bunch of people died.
Yeah.
Jax couldn't make up his mind.
Whether he wanted to be
Gemma,
good or bad.
Gemma tricked somebody. Gemma's a liar.
Yeah, no, on The Walking Dead, somebody you really liked got killed. and the black people are like Highlander. There can be only one.
Oh, my goodness. So Yokozuna, they're doing.
If you've ever watched Walking Dead, you'll understand that every time a black man shows up, you can rest assured that the black guy who's been there before is going to die.
Yes, but yes, he's going to die there.
Does that make you uncomfortable? Like
what?
If I say stuff like that?
No, I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I only watch realistic television.
By the way, this has got nothing to do with nothing, but I went and saw Furious 7, the new Fast and Furious movie.
What do you think?
Oh, it was incredible.
Really?
Yes. It was just like that Sting Triple H match.
Really?
It was the most overbooked, bells and whistles, ridiculous stunts I've ever seen. Not logical at all. And I loved every minute of it. Yeah. You know? I'm cool with like, if the movie exists in a world where physics and logic don't apply, then I'm okay with you doing anything that you want to do.
Yes.
But when I'm in a thing, we've talked about it,
mm-hmm.
when laws and the laws of physics and logic do apply, and then you do this one ridiculous thing.
Right.
I have a problem with that.
I agree.
But I got no problem in Fast and Furious with them taking a car and jumping from one skyscraper to the next and then jumping into another skyscraper. You know what I mean? I got no problem with The Rock falling four stories and living. You know what I mean? It's just because it's a movie and it's intended to be over the top. And then it's got, like, at the end, not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah.
Great tribute to Paul Walker.
Yeah.
That's
like, on my list.
It's awesome, man. It is awesome. It's ridiculous and it's stupid and it's illogical. And Michael Bay was probably watching this movie going, I don't know, maybe that's a little much. It's great, man.
So, and we talked about this maybe on the WrestleMania show where, like, Roger Ebert would have watched that movie, like, oh, thumbs down. And I'm like, You don't get it.
Right.
Like, you would, like, when I watch the Academy Awards, which I don't watch the Academy Awards.
No, I don't.
You
know why?
Because I haven't seen any of the movies that are nominated.
Yeah. I've seen a few of them, but I don't, for the most part.
Oh, this is a great movie.
I did see Birdman, and it was good.
Imitation Game was
good. Was it good?
It was good.
Birdman really is good, though.
I have not seen it yet. I have no idea what. Oh, so at the end of Fast and Furious 6, you know, they're doing all this stuff on this plane.
Right.
On this runway. I think I told you this. I'm watching this movie. My brother-in-law, who was in the Marines, and we get done with it. He's like, man, that was a great movie. He said, you have to suspend your disbelief for some of these movies. Because if that were real at the end, you do realize that runway would have been 60 miles long.
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And that's when a movie's good that you're not thinking about that.
Right.
They've done that. And we're a mark for those movies.
Oh, there's not a better franchise that represents starting out with this mediocre and then completely turning things around and just going full on
action. They did the opposite of Batman. Between Batman and
if
Robin.
You go back and watch the first Fast and Furious movie, it is not a great movie.
And there's like a couple of movies in the middle that don't even involve Vin Diesel.
That don't even have Vin Diesel or anything in them. But The Rock in this, it could have used more Rock, but I think the intention is to set up a Luke Hobbs solo movie.
Oh.
And definitely when you see how it ends, it very much is, you know.
Dude, we're totally off topic.
Who cares?
That says a lot about The Rock because they bring him in, his first acting role that I remember, they bring him in for this bit part as the Scorpion King in one of the Mummy movies, and it's so good. Well, dude, we're going to do a whole movie off of your cameo.
Yeah.
And that movie was terrible.
No, you didn't like Scorpion King?
I did not like
Scorpion King. Oh, I thought it was great, man.
There's a point where he becomes a scorpion, and it's like his head on a scorpion.
Yeah, that's stupid. But
I knew that was gonna.
But the movie was good. The Scorpion King movie itself was pretty doggone good, man. I don't care what you say. Don't change your mind now. The movie was good.
I didn't like it.
Well, that's okay.
We can agree.
We can agree to disagree. And I think the world would be a better place if more people.
I think you're
would
wrong.
Do that, but Scorpion King was a good movie. And Furious 7 is an incredible movie.
All right, well, I'm going to see that. Yokozuna, he did this promo. He's wrestling Davey Boy Smith, who's managed by Jim Cornette. And at the time all this is going on, Davey Boy Smith is on trial for assault. And as part of the trial, you know, they're trying to say, well, Davey Boy Smith beat this guy up because he's a wrestler, and that's what wrestlers do. And the quote, as Davey Boy Smith is on trial, this is the quote: "Every single thing in wrestling is a fake." To which the prosecutor said, "To put it bluntly, you are a fraud to the public." And Davey Boy Smith's like, "If you want to put it that way." Anyway, the good news for WWF.
Can I give you my quote of the night now? Yes. You gave us your quote. My quote was Roddy Piper about speaking to Jim Cornette about Big Van Vader.
Right.
"Tell Vader the jock strap doesn't go on your head." Yes. Of course, in his case, it makes sense because he's nuts.
So let's stop there. So Roddy Piper's the new president, and he comes in and he's like, "Hey, anything goes. It's the Wild West. Anything goes." Yokozuna wins this match by DQ after Cornette hits him with the racket. They're building up Yokozuna versus Vader at WrestleMania, and that's why Vader's getting surgery. And Roddy Piper actually announces at this match, he's like, "Hey, at WrestleMania, it's going to be Yokozuna versus Vader," which at that time, that's what everybody wanted to see. They had this good moment in the Royal Rumble, and that's what they were building to.
And then Vader broke his leg, and it looks nasty when he does it.
Wait.
It's coming up. It hadn't happened yet.
Okay, not...
They did the spot where he did the Vader bomb on Yokozuna's leg. And he had it laid up. And this is coming up. I don't think it's happened yet. I don't know, because I don't have the detailed notes.
Okay, because I did not...
You didn't watch all the Raws.
I didn't know. Yeah. No.
I did.
Well, there you go. Now, the next match is Shawn Michaels versus Owen Hart.
Match of the night.
Where he has put up his shot at the title at WrestleMania, which people complained about this year. Well, I can't believe Roman Reigns has got to put
up. Yeah, they did it all the time. They did it the next year. They do it all the time. It's to get them to WrestleMania.
I think a lot of people that complain about wrestling in 2015 weren't alive in 1996.
That's what it was. They were babies, or they weren't watching it, or they just don't. Most of them don't know what they're talking about. They played some wrestling video games and think they understand match psychology. I'm just calling.
One of the wrestlers said that. One of the wrestlers said, all these kids play video games and they come to the match and they expect you to do stuff they did on a video game.
Yeah.
And the video game, like you said, has no ring psychology. It's just move, taunt, finisher.
Right.
Move on in the storyline.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So they don't understand match psychology, which is, I guess, why they don't have much psychology in their wrestling matches anymore.
As I was watching this match, which tremendous match, like you said.
Yeah, this is the match of the night. This is one of those, as we go through, tell you to go back and watch a match. Owen Hart, Shawn Michaels, great match. Go back and watch it.
Owen Hart, I don't think he's underrated, but I think people misremember him. People that say Owen Hart wasn't good in the ring and wasn't good on the mic, I would challenge them to go back and watch 96. To go back and watch what I did. Because I think I went in thinking, maybe Owen Hart's a little bit overrated. And I've gone back and I'm like, no, he's...
I think he's, to me, rated right where he needs to be. He's a mid-card wrestler.
That's what I'm saying.
Good promo and had good matches.
Yeah.
But there was nothing extraordinary about him.
Right. And I think some people, because there was nothing extraordinary about him, go too far and say, well, he wasn't even good.
Or they go the opposite and say he's one of the greatest of all time, right, which I hear more than the he wasn't any good.
Let's pump on the brakes with that.
Right. I don't hear the he wasn't any good argument near as much as I hear the he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And he's not.
No.
He's not.
If your company.
There's only like four or five guys that I would consider great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But if your wrestling company had six Owen Harts, you'd be fine as a wrestling coach.
You got yourself a nice solid mid card.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what they want nowadays. John Cena said it last night.
Yeah.
On the podcast with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
They said, who do you think is going to be the next Hogan or Austin or Rock or Cena? And he said, nobody. It's about the brand now.
Mm.
It's not what they want. They're looking for mediocrity mid-card wrestlers.
This is a great match. And as I was watching this match, it occurs to me that in 25 months from the time of this match, Shawn Michaels is going to be out of wrestling.
Yeah.
And that I'm just kind of thinking about that. Like, here's this guy and getting ready to just get this unbelievable push. I mean, you go back and watch especially this match. Vince McMahon loves him some Shawn Michaels.
Yes, he does.
When
Shawn, oh, my goodness.
Because Shawn Michaels starts out he starts out on the house.
Yeah.
He, like, comes down and he's, oh, 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 oh,
yeah. Oh, the incomparable Shawn.
It's like,
yeah. Yeah. And he, like, Michaels walks over and, like, high fives him or something. And I don't know if that's during this pay-per-view, but it happens a few times. And he's like, oh, he is the heartbreak kid. He's, oh, yeah.
I can't remember who's on commentary with Vince McMahon, but might be Jerry Lawler, who says, he's got hair so long, Moses couldn't part it. I thought that was pretty funny. They do this spot. It's a suplex spot to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great match.
It is a match that you need to go back
on. And in my notes, I've got Hofer, Owen Hart is not as bad as you think he is.
No, I agree. Yeah, he's not as bad. I don't know. I think when I talked to Hofer about that, yeah, and he like agreed with what I was saying, mm-hmm, yes, he was good.
Yeah.
I think his point was not that Owen Hart wasn't
good. He was trying
good.
To. Gotcha.
It was the same thing that I think, that he's not.
Yeah.
He died, and that makes you misremember him.
Right.
As George Bush coined the phrase. I think wasn't that him that said, I misremembered? I could be wrong.
That was Roger Clemens, I think.
Okay. Whoever said, I thought it was. See, I misremembered who said misremembered.
That's why I'm here.
But the point was exactly what I think. It's not that he wasn't good. It's not that he wasn't capable. It's not that he couldn't cut a decent promo. But he is not one of the greatest of all time. He's not great.
One of the things I appreciated about this match and about Owen Hart as I've watched him is in this match, I don't think Owen Hart – and again, it's not about knowing all the moves.
Right.
But Owen Hart is not – formulaic, and maybe he's formulaic in that he doesn't do the same offensive move twice. He does not have just this four move set. I mean, he's doing all these different offensive maneuvers.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really with what we have now, that I know this guy does these five moves just like the video game. Owen Hart was not like that. Owen Hart was very
Most of the guys who wrestled at the time were not like that.
Right.
They've all been trained at the same place by the same people to work the same way now. They all want everybody to take a backdrop the same way. They want everybody to throw a suplex the same way. They want everybody to punch the same way, kick the same way.
Everybody's a vanilla midget.
Right. They want – yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what they seem to want, and they're succeeding.
Yeah.
So,
it's a logical finish. Owen Hart, they tease the enziguri, and HBK ducks it, hits sweet chin music. Very awkward ending. After the match, Shawn Michaels goes out to the crowd and gets a little girl, brings her into the ring as he's doing his celebration.
Yeah.
And he's like, pelvic thrust in her direction. It's awkward.
You know, and I remember as I watched these, I was surprised at how many men were dressed up like Shawn Michaels.
I tried to
what is wrong with you?
I tried to do a screenshot of a guy.
I mean, they had the stupid little Tony Schiavone hat on.
Yeah.
The gloves.
And how many guys had long, like, wrestler hair?
Yeah.
AKA the mullet.
Yeah. And they have the little round sunglasses and the long, and they were dressed like Shawn Michaels, and it was just weird. Like, I never would think to dress up like Shawn Michaels.
No.
And I might dress up like the Big Boss Man, yeah, or Big Van Vader, but I ain't dressing up like Shawn Michaels.
And it's weird here because Shawn Michaels is way over, and by the end of the year, the crowd has kind of turned on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think they, just like everything, man, you got to give people a break from stuff.
Right.
It can't be the same thing all the time.
The super kick described, I think, by Jerry Lawler, that would knock King Kong out.
Yeah.
Stellar. You mentioned the Roddy Piper interview. That happens at this point in the card because they're setting up the cage for the next match. Now, I want to apologize to the fans because as I go back, I have gaps in my wrestling knowledge.
Yeah, I know.
So
you ain't telling me nothing.
So when I bashed WCW in 96, I had missed, and I was watching WCW in 96 live. And I had missed this whole thing of Roddy Piper in WWF at 96. So I was under the impression that when Roddy Piper comes to WCW in late 96, that he came out of nowhere.
Right, that he hadn't been seen in years. I knew when you were talking about it on the show that you didn't realize.
Right, I just didn't remember that.
But I just didn't call you out on it.
I appreciate it. That's very, very nice of you. I'm calling myself out on it now.
Yeah. Well, listen, I knew if you just looked at Wikipedia to get the results for WCW in 96 that you had no idea what went on in WWF in 96.
I haven't looked at Wikipedia since that day. You shamed me.
You're telling me you ain't been on Wikipedia since then?
Not about wrestling. Well,
okay, you started going to the Observer website, which is a little bit more detailed.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But at least it is a wrestling website.
It is a wrestling website, not Pro Wrestling Wiki. Now, in the interest of time, we're going to finish up with the main event of this In Your House show, which is Bret Hart versus Diesel in a cage match. Couple of questions I have for you. Why are they having a cage match? Is it because Diesel's the one that interfered in the Royal Rumble main event? Uh-huh. I don't know. And why are they having, because in WWF, you got to climb out of the cage. Diesel can't climb.
Right.
The man got two bad legs. So yeah. I don't understand why they're doing a cage match.
Because they had to get to that cool spot where the Undertaker came up through the ring because he couldn't get to the cage. I don't see what you don't understand about these things sometimes.
Sorry.
It was the theatrics.
You do have a great wrestling mind. And I don't know if you know this. So Undertaker
pops. Oh, yeah, I know.
Undertaker pops up out of the ring and pulls Diesel down into the depths of hell.
And if there had not been a cage there, that wouldn't have made any sense.
Well, they do it later in the year.
True. But what are you going to do?
So in this spot, when Diesel does pop back up, he escapes hell, I guess. And he is...
Evidently.
And or at least purgatory.
Yeah, he escaped purgatory.
But his pants are cut. And my theory is that his pants are cut so he pops up out of the hole and climbs over the cage. And I don't think he could move without his pants being cut. I don't think he could have climbed out of the cage.
And that may have been why they did it.
But also, he comes out of the hole, the door of the cage is right there. But they did sell it as if this guy is so scared of The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And then they're going to spend the month leading up to WrestleMania telling you that he's not scared.
That he's not scared of
it. Of The Undertaker.
Well, that's because that's what heels do.
Right. Oh, but Seth Rollins is an undeserving champion. You do realize you feel exactly the way they want you to feel.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
That's why you're called a mark.
There's this whole perception that the Honky Tonk Man is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And I don't think people understand, really, that was the gimmick.
Yeah.
back then was that he wasn't the greatest Intercontinental right. champion of all time. He defended it against job guys.
Yeah.
And anytime he had to face anybody who could really challenge him, he would worm his way around and he would cheat to get out of it.
Yeah.
And it was clear when he would say, I'm the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time, that it was intended to draw heat.
Yeah.
People don't even remember that about that whole greatest Intercontinental champion of all time thing. It was said specifically because he wasn't the greatest
but now
of
people,
all time. And now that's people think he's the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time because he held it for a long time. And he held it for a long time because he wouldn't defend it against anybody who mattered.
And people get mad. They're like, I can't believe the honky-tonk man has the gall to call himself the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
He's a heel.
Right.
I heard him say one time, he said, my goal was when kids were watching the show that they would say, I don't know about any of those other guys, but I think I could beat Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
He said that was his goal, was that 8-year-old kids would think that they could beat him up.
I'm excited. He's going to be at Legends.
Yeah, Reunion. I really hope to get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, NWALegends.com. You can check that out. That's going to be great. We're planning on going. Another thing happens in the month of February. This is when, and again, as I was going back, it's hard to, why did I put that piece there? It's hard to get the timeline right. But in February, there are two guys that give their 90-day notice to the WWF. Diesel and Razor Ramon give notice that, hey, we're leaving this date in May is going to be our last date, and then we're done. Vince, we really don't want to go, but they're offering us this money. They're offering us full-time pay for part-time work. We've talked about that before.
Right.
Anybody who would say, oh, I'd have turned that down.
You're full of crap.
Liar.
You're full of crap.
You're a liar.
You're a liar, as Heath would say, and the truth is not in you.
But that, as we're moving into WrestleMania season, that changes a lot of things in the future booking for the WWF.
And it changes one thing probably for 20-something years.
Yeah. Which is, you want to talk about it now or later?
You know everything.
I don't know everything. I don't know what you're going to say.
I know you don't.
Well, I want you to tell us.
I know you do, and you'll have to tune into the next episode to find out.
Speaking of the next episode, next week we'll get as far as we can get talking through WWF 1996. We shot the breeze a lot, talked about a lot of different things. We covered Royal Rumble and the February In Your House, and a lot's going on, man. Lots going on behind the scenes, really, that changes the business of wrestling. So we want to know what you think. We want to know what you think of Owen Hart. Do you fall on the, he's one of the greatest of all time? Do you fall on that he was terrible? Or are you right and you fall in the middle, like Mark and I, that you rank him where he should be?
I think next time I want to talk about whether Bret Hart and Undertaker being overrated or underrated.
Okay. We can do that.
We can throw that into a conversation.
I want to say this, and this is kind of a tease of where we're going in this series, or I think where we're going, is so far through two pay-per-views, you've seen Shawn Michaels win the Royal Rumble, and you've seen him have a great match with Owen Hart. And that's a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
The guy is going to be Wrestler of the Year. But again, you've got two different philosophies between WWF and WCW. In that WWF's going to have their belt on a guy that can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
WCW, not so much.
Right. An attraction.
Right. Well, I'm talking at this point in time, I think it's the Giant. And he's defending against Greg Valentine and
that's a good point.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. But
we'll see Shawn Michaels have a run.
Oh, phenomenal.
Incredible matches.
I want to talk about as far as pay-per-view goes, let's talk. I want to talk about that run. Because see,
well, that's what we're doing, right?
Well, yeah. But I want to.
So what, you want to do exactly what we're already doing, Heath? No, wait a minute. What a revelation on this. What I'd like to do is continue to tell you everything that happened on every pay-per-view for the entire year. That's, if that's okay with you.
Will you stop? So you can
I find. It's like podcasting with my sister's kids sometimes.
Back at Queen for a more time. I'll blow you right up at Wildcat's butt. Oh. That, hey, there's a podcast, Tombstone. Do a podcast.
I agree. And just like quote lines from yeah. for an hour.
It's longer.
You call down the thunder, well now you got it. Yeah, you could just I could just sit and do Tombstone quotes all day long.
But. Oh man. Oh. All right, got the guilty conscience. Might as well have the money too.
That's right.
So we want to hear from you. Go on. There's links to all this in the show notes.
Perhaps poker's not your game. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
Ain't nobody that lucky. Lunger. That guy's great. Hey, listen, listen. So while we're talking about all this, people would watch Tombstone like, no, I can't stand that guy playing Ike Clanton. Boy, I don't even watch any other movies.
That's right. Anymore. I can't. That dang Curly Bill, I just don't like it.
I don't
guy.
Like it. I'm not ever. I ain't watching another Powers Booth movie ever.
Yeah, ever. He's the bad guy.
You
he's
do realize like, he's doing
you're
exactly.
You're supposed to hate him. Yeah. He's playing a part.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Can maybe we've said this
before. I don't like that Wyatt Earp. He thinks he's tough.
Val Kilmer, he got robbed of the Oscar that year, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, I think so, man. Yeah, he was great.
Now
he was great.
I love Val Kilmer's portrayal of Doc Holliday. Loved it. Dennis Quaid also played Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
I thought Val Kilmer's was better, but I think they took both did different route.
Oh,
Dennis
yeah, those
Quaid
are two
lost like
movies.
50 pounds.
Yeah, those are two completely. One's a big blockbuster, you know, we'll just tell the story the way we want to tell it. Yeah. And the other was, let's be a little bit more historically accurate. So two different movies. And I actually read Wyatt Earp's, the biography of Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
And Tombstone is no way near what actually happened, but it's the better movie.
Yeah. So anyway, tell us what you think about Tombstone and wrestling and whatever. Hey, on the wrestling you grew up with, we talk about whatever you want to talk about. Yeah. We mostly talk about, guess what, the wrestling you grew up with. For many of you, WWF 1996, that's the wrestling you grew up with. So join us there on Facebook, have a conversation. You can go on doubledropkick.com. You can leave a comment on this post. We want to talk to you on Twitter as well. You can come talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. Mark?
I'm at the DDK Show. And a guy asked me the other day, I had a conversation with a guy, and I can't remember his name, but about the Jim Cornette Carolina Classics DVD. So I hope he's listening to this, because it's hard to talk to people on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he asked me if I thought they were worth the money. And I think that they are. Mm-hmm. But you very much need to understand what you're buying before you buy it. You're not buying these cards.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard. They're videos that were shot on a handheld camera in the auditorium.
Right.
And then converted to VHS and then converted to DVD.
Yeah. No commentary.
No commentary. A lot of the matches are chopped up and they're kind of choppy. I love them. Yeah. And I watched some of them like 2 days ago. I just threw one of the DVDs in because that's how I watch them. I don't have cable. We talk about it.
Yeah.
So I throw something in on Monday nights when Raw's on and I'll play that. And, I love them because I'm a tape collector and I'm a wrestling historian. Self-appointed.
Yeah.
But a wrestling
historian.
I'm going
to get you an appointment. My uncle's a federal judge, and I'm going to see.
what do you got to do to be
on
the National Register?
What do I
got
to do to appoint you? Yeah.
So if you know what you're buying ahead of time, absolutely they're worth the money. But I don't want to tell somebody to spend that much money.
Yeah.
And then you think that you're going to get something that you're not getting.
Yeah.
They're great. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But I could understand how some people might get them and be disappointed.
Yeah.
That's all.
Did I ever chip in for that?
If you didn't, I'm not worried about it. I think I did. I think we worked a deal out.
I think I did, but
seems like you paid more on the hotel room or something.
I think we worked even, Steven. Hey, all I know is we bought those DVDs, and you got hit with a tennis racket by Jim Cornette.
Yeah, if I give
which you can't got buy online.
That's right. I didn't buy them online. We didn't buy them online. I actually had a conversation with Jim Cornette.
He was awesome.
About the whole process. And so, and then he hit me with a tennis racket.
Yeah. And I had just set the phone down. So, the one time all weekend I put the phone down.
was when he, And it was funny, I remember, because I had done this big rant about people using their cell phone. Like, there's this whole world in front of you.
Yeah.
And you're watching the entire world through your cell phone.
Yeah.
And all this great stuff is going on around you. Put your dang cell phone down. And I remember that kind of bit. Why don't you put that dang cell phone down? And then I immediately turned to you and said, did you get that on camera? And you were like, oh, no, mister, put that cell phone down.
So here's the thing. So I think for this summer, I should dress up like Cornette and you do Big Boss Man. We get you the outfit and everything.
Do Big Bubba.
Oh, yeah, you could be Big Bubba.
That make more sense? To be Big Bubba?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Listen, my booking's not logical, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we would pass
you wanted to be thing. Jim Cornette and the Big Boss Man. They were together as a team, you know.
I'm one of those people that puts a K on the end of Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's right.
So, hey, this has been part one of our 96 WWF series. If you missed the WCW series, that's available. If you go to doubledropkick.com/episodes, we put them all there in a nice little thing. You can download us on iTunes. You can download us on TuneIn Radio. If you download us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, just like Meltzer would, a 5-star rating, and just type one sentence is all you got to do. Even one word saying fantastic with an exclamation point. That's a good rating or a good review. Do that, and we love it. Listen, we're here to talk about the wrestling you grew up with, and that's what we're doing in this series. So, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I'm Mark Whitman.
And he is a Justin Bieber fan, a Michael Cole fan, and a Miz fan.
And I am not just Michael Cole. Michael Colesore and the Miz Rubble.
Oh, you got me.
You got me, boss.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.